five, four, three, two.
The waiting is over! The New York Rangers are the Stanley Cup champions! And this one will last a lifetime!
Still held in, UA group shot.
We've been recording already.
Yeah.
So every bad thing you said about your place of employment is going on here for blackmail.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. I'll stand by it.
That's fair. A man of principle. Very good.
Yeah, exactly.
Terms and conditions for Radcast.
Yeah, exactly. But welcome everybody into the Radcast, a very special episode where we're going to be retreading a very special topic. But at the top
almost
of the
almost a year ago. A couple weeks from now.
But first we'd like to give a little disclaimer. Matt and I, when we posted about the new episode last week, when you're listening to this a week ago, or at least when this releases a week ago, we did a ramble to where we talked about among a few other things the Twitter of one Jose Canseco and then also the Titanic disaster. Just so happens the next day the news
goes out about
the missing submarine Titan for the folks looking to go and look at the rich person field trip
to go look at the ruins of the Titanic.
Yeah. It's totally coincidental. Yep. When Matt and I posted on Instagram or on each of our pages about it, we made sure to say this was recorded before the tragedy of the Titan.
Yep.
So I just want to say again, that was not planned.
We're
so
not, it's not capitalizing on it.
Exactly. Although I think it would have been nice if I did use Titanic as a tag on the episode. So hopefully it would have gained some traction because of that. But hey, who knows?
Listen, if we benefit from it, it's just circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Those of you in this business have to be slave to the algorithm. So that's just what I wanted
slave
to do.
Slave to the grind. Slave to the algorithm.
Mm-hmm. But we are here with a new offering with a couple of cool dudes. A couple of cool dudes. As we talk about 90s hockey again, for those of you who listened last year, you heard we had the recording with myself, Matt, and our very good friend Joe Gilbert. We have an additional fellow who was originally supposed to record with us last time, who is with us this time.
Yep.
We are not going, well, I guess first, where can everybody find us? If you're listening for our guests or you've just happened upon the show, Matt's going to let you know where you can find and give us praise.
On Instagram, only praise, too.
Yes.
On Instagram, we're at The Radcast. Cast is spelled with a K. The Radcast is all one word.
Mm-hmm.
And then any major podcast app of your choice, you can find us. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and wherever you can rate and review, please do so. It really helps us out.
Yes. Yes, please.
Without further ado.
Without further ado, it is 90s Hockey Part 2.
Part deux.
For all of you French Canadian listeners, I know you're out there, and all you French people, I know you're out there too somewhere.
Whether or not you're listening, you're out there.
Yeah,
French
you're out
people
there.
Are out there. Okay, get with the times, everybody.
It's like
French people exist.
French people are out there. It's like an episode of the X-Files.
or if you're just a big fan of Hot Shots Part Deux.
Yes, exactly. Hot Shots Part Deux.
Always gotta have a part deux.
Great parody movie. But with joining us, as we are not alone again, making their valiant returns, and for the first time, the four of us are recording in person together,
making it very special.
Yes.
Just had some Za, had some pizza.
Yeah, from Pizza
Hut. Pepsi.
Yep. To get in the 90s mood.
Yeah.
They had an appearance on Sucktastic Cinema together when we talked about Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Our one guest joined us in November as we talked the Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
For his 30th anniversary, as he's wearing a beautiful Charlie Conway jersey.
Absolutely.
Making his
classic
fourth appearance, very on the precipice of being a five-timer, making his return to the show since November, Chris Haney.
Chris Haney. Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Is it really four?
Yeah. Huh. So yeah. Chris was on Arcades with us back in January 2020 before the pandemic, which was the first time I met
him.
Yeah. And Chris and I have been friends since then, but this is only the second time we're ever hanging out in person.
Huh.
And we've...
Jeez. No, I thought there was one more.
There was... We did Arcades episode-wise. We did 1992 with you. We did Mighty Ducks. We did this. And Mighty Ducks, 92, Street Fighter, were all remote.
Crazy.
Yeah. So
that's nuts, which is weird because I feel like I've known you literally forever.
Same. Exactly. Yeah.
And our next guest, I have known just as long, been friends with just as long. And this is the fourth time we're ever hanging out because of the pandemic. Things got in the way. But you heard him on Street Fighter. You heard him on Judge Dredd on Sucktastic. You just last year heard him in part one for 90s Hockey. Mm-hmm. Now returning for part two. Joe Gilbert is back.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Dr. Dr. Joe.
Nick Joe.
Yes.
I didn't know where we were going with
that. What's also special is Joe and Chris are the co-hosts of From the Point podcast, the blues-centric podcast, but also talk about hockey.
Yep.
Guys, tell the audience a little bit about From the Point podcast.
Oh, okay. I'll take the wheel on this one.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So,
Jesus, Joe's take the wheel.
Socials, you can find us on one handle and one handle only, From the Point PC. And we've got a Facebook page. We have an Instagram account. We have a Twitter account that Chris sometimes uses. I have decided,
sometimes, almost never.
I have decided to boycott Twitter for obvious reasons.
Yep.
Elon Musk.
Yep. What was that you say into the microphone?
Did he hear that? I don't know.
He hears all.
Speaking, hang on real quick. I'm sorry to take over. Mm-hmm. Did you guys hear about the Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg in a cage match?
Yep. Yeah.
That's got to be the shittiest fight ever.
I said,
a couple kids smacking each other.
People should be able to pay to beat the shit out of both of them.
Yeah. I would pay the full $80 pay-per-view price to watch MMA fighters beat the shit out of both.
I think you compared it to the early 2000s. The mid-2000s MTV show Bully Beatdown.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can we have an aesthetic from Mortal Kombat, when they start the fight, round one, fight.
How has no one made a celebrity death match reference yet? With these
two. You took it out of my mouth.
Really?
I was going to say, you were going to put a claymation filter over it, and it's going to be celebrity death match. Going to start with, let's get it on.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Judge Mills Lane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those are your socials. You got wherever you listen to us, you can listen to From the Point.
True.
If you've made appearances on there.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. We're going to make one in a little bit here.
Yeah.
You guys are currently in a Blues Rivalries series. Is that correct?
Yes. Indeed.
Yes. We did just a couple of weeks ago, we recorded the Chicago Blackhawks.
Ah, yes.
We kind of really did a deep dive on that. Yep. And then our next episode, we said we were going to do the Predators. However, since we have the Webster Twins in the house, it's only fitting that we talk about the Colorado Avalanche.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yep.
That's what we have going on here in the near future. We're going to be doing a couple of other episodes. We're going to do a simulcast with You Haven't Played What.
Nice.
So we've got a lot of stuff on the burner and just a lot of different ideas that time and life and everything hasn't...
Mm-hmm.
allowed us to do. So we're gonna be diving in a lot of that stuff, but I am so incredibly pumped to be a part of this episode.
Part one,
I was so proud that you guys did it, and it sounded so freaking good.
Thank you.
But I was driving home from my vacation when I was listening to that. Mm-hmm. So I was already homesick. I hear you guys talking my favorite subject and three of arguably my favorite people to talk to, and I'm like, this sucks.
I want to be part of this, but at the
same time, it was so good. I felt like I was there. I was talking, to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my wife's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, shut up. I'm talking to the boys.
Quietly. Go back to bed. Quiet, Yoko.
So to be a part of part two, guys, awesome. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Of course.
We wouldn't have had it without you, honestly.
Yeah.
You did the first time.
Well, I know. The second time, I mean.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're listening to this now and you haven't listened to part one, we implore you to please go listen to part one. Matt, Joe, and I are really proud of that one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great time. talking about 90s hockey. Then we talked about so much revolving the game, the evolution of what the game has become now, from how it was represented in America until the late 80s. Yep. We talked about
jerseys.
Mainly like the third jersey initiative, some of the stunts that the NHL pulled to try the glow puck.
Wasn't as bad as you guys said.
No,
I just
it really
listened
wasn't.
To it again.
It wasn't.
When that happened, I thought it was fun. But
when I saw it as a kid, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, as a kid. Cool. You know, it was almost as good as the glow puck, but probably a whole lot better.
What?
The goal animations where the robots like fight each other.
That was awesome. Yes. We completely forgot to mention that.
Completely. Yeah. Well, good thing we got a part two.
NHL on Fox. Yeah, there was the and we talked about like skaters, so like the leading scorers of the 90s, and we briefly mentioned some of the top goalies. We'll get more in depth with goalies and rivalries, even Stanley Cup champions. But before we get into that, Chris, since we heard from Joe last year about his history with the Blues, but also with the game for the most part, what are some of your earliest memories with hockey?
I mean, we've kind of already discussed in depth Blues, whether it's the, you know, playing at the old barn, Fox, you know, with their hockey and everything. But, you know, I just kind of remember sitting with my family, my grandparents, my mom and stuff like that, and watching KPLR and watching hockey with, you know, Ken Wilson, Joe Micheletti. And it was always it was like our family time. Like, some people come together for lunch or dinner, or, you know, they do that weekly thing. But when hockey was on, that's when everyone stopped what they were doing and they watched the game, or they would listen to it on KMOX or, you know, something. There was always, I always thought of that as, you know, family time. So a lot of my memories are kind of based around that. But as far as moments of the game, there's a ton. I mean, the storyline with Mario Lemieux and, you know, his health problems and leaving and coming back and still dominating the league after, you know, getting your last bout of, you know, chemo.
Yeah.
Like, that is a big storyline. The emergence, you talked about it on part one, but the different jerseys.
Yeah.
They were starting to do all these different things with the sport to try to make it one of the, you know, premier leagues of the league. Of course, it's the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when you compare it to NBA in the 90s, you know,
it's
hard to touch Michael Jordan in his prime.
Right, exactly.
You know, we didn't have the great home run race that the MLB had.
Yeah.
Right.
So we had to kind of like hook up our own.
We had to market some different things.
Exactly. And the 90s for me was experimentation, but I was also growing as a person.
Sure.
So
it like hit you at the right time. Like, as you were growing and finding out different identities for yourself, your favorite
the
sport
league was
doing
that
too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. We both felt like that awkward teenage phase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, I remember when the NHL logo had braces.
Super hot.
Embarrassing.
Dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's excellent. I love hearing that. When we talked originally, we talked about the third jersey program, but we didn't talk about some of our favorite sweaters. And that was something kind of that I had that occurred to me. Not only do we not talk about the robots on Fox, but we also didn't go over some of our favorite sweaters. We talked about within the context of the third jerseys and some ones that we like there, but what were some of your guys' favorite 90s hockey sweaters, hockey jerseys, whatever nomenclature you want to use? Joe, we can start with you.
Oh, I'm going to talk about teams outside of the Blues organization because, and I did say organization, as a proper Canadian would.
Of course. Yeah.
So,
good job, eh?
Matt is wearing one of my favorite jerseys out of the whole lot. I mean, I am a homer a bit, but the mid-90s Blues jersey, specifically the blue one, has aged so well.
Beautiful.
And, you know, I used to hate it when I was a kid. I thought it was gaudy.
Yeah.
I liked what Steven's actually wearing better.
Mm.
The classic, like, early 90s jersey. Yep.
Accents of red. Not like just huge splashes, like, in the mid-90s.
But that jersey has aged so well.
Yeah.
But you cannot start this conversation without one specific jersey of the 90s. the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Absolutely. Original, not your jersey.
Not my, yeah. not the OG OG, but you're yeah. talking the Mighty Ducks
like
of Anaheim.
The actual yeah. NHL
The
team.
Stu Grimson Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Guy Bear.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Of course, Guy Bear. Paul yeah. Kariya.
1997 All-Star Guy Bear.
Steve Ruchin.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the quintessential 90s hockey jersey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much that, damn it, can't they just bring it back?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have rebranded the Ducks anyway, but ever since they got rid of those, like, that branding and that jersey, everything's paled in comparison. I don't know why. Like, they brought it back for, like, the reverse retros, but it's like, just bring them back for, you know, just regularly.
They used the logo for an alternate jersey, which was really cool.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah, it's just, it's like,
just
it's,
bring them back.
It's the maroon, the white version of that is one of the cleanest looking hockey jerseys I've ever seen. Like, yep. it's beautiful.
Yep.
The eggplant, the teal.
Yep.
It's just.
Teal dominated the 90s. Mm-hmm.
I liked the home jerseys being white. Like when they switched it up in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't the biggest fan of that. I mean, now it's just a natural thing. But the crisp white jerseys of home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know why they did that,
they
right?
They were awesome.
You know why the home jerseys were white for so long? It was actually a logistics thing.
Really?
It cost teams more to basically launder the white jerseys and clean them on the road than the color jerseys.
That makes
so,
sense.
But when the lockout happened, the big lockout of 04-05, the darkest season known to man for professional sports, they switched it to color jerseys being the home jerseys.
Okay.
And it was a marketability thing.
Yeah.
That's when the tides turned. But I'm in the same boat with Chris. Like, I distinctly remember the white jersey being the predominant
white is your home jersey.
Yeah. And that was the jersey that popped. I mean, the Blues jersey is based off of that 97-98 template.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's a reason why I still think the white one looks better than the blue one.
Yeah.
It's it comes down to the fact that they designed that for the home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's games. Just it's white is the good guy. Like white is like valiant hero, and when you're at home, you're the heroes, you're the good guys. So it just makes sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember when they changed it over, I was like, this is so weird. Like, because it's just like, it's just natural. White jerseys is the home team. So, yeah, I like you said, Chris, I'm used to it now, but I definitely remember when that was the norm and when they switched over, it's like, this is so weird.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't feel right to not wear white.
Yeah, at exactly. Home. White is right. That's what you're saying.
That's not what I said.
Something you need to tell us, buddy?
No, okay, no, okay. Buddy. It's not what I said. Any more that come to mind there for you, Joe?
Yeah, so, I mean,
other than Blues, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Other than Blues.
This is 90s
again,
yeah, 90s, come on, we're not on your podcast.
It's not our
come
podcast,
on.
It's their podcast.
Yes.
Let the man speak.
Gosh. So, obviously, Anaheim comes to mind for me. As much as they are met with derision still to this very day, you can't mention the fisherman jersey from the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
I disagree. My brother Dan, who guested on our jerseys episode, lambasts that jersey still to this very day, thinks it's a hipster jersey. I think there's a bit of a charm to it now.
Sure. I do too.
And then to round it out, now this is one that I'll throw out there. I love the execution of this jersey, and I don't know why they ever got rid of it. The Dallas Stars late 90s jersey with the star incorporated into the jersey itself.
It
boggles my mind why Dallas had to rebrand. But before that, actually took the star away from the jersey. It had something to do with the Reebok Edge design.
Mm-hmm.
But that's clean to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just what I'm looking for. Something that looks good, I think, and, like, wear out.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, like, a nice date or whatever, right. But, like, it just, it looks clean.
But both
like, clean's the best
both
way
the
to put
green
it, yeah.
and the white ones, when yeah. they turn them into their home and away jerseys, yeah. just looks so good.
And the yep. gold was the right color balance yep. with it, too. Yep. So, like... That's what sticks out to me as far as my favorite non-blues mm-hmm. 90s jerseys.
Good choices.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
Obviously, hometown. Mm-hmm. The Blues, the quote-unquote the McDonald's jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
I was really young when they were introduced, so I just, as a kid, it's vibrant, and you're like, that looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And then because of that, I kind of grew up, and I was like, those are the jerseys from when I was a kid, so they're really cool. Mm-hmm. I still love them. I think a lot of people have jumped, like, not on the bandwagon, but have come around to them, especially since the Blues did the reverse retro designs mm-hmm. based on those. It's nostalgic to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they look fun. I like the early 90s ones, like you're wearing mm-hmm. with the red accents, like yeah. the Curtis Joseph mm-hmm. Blues jerseys.
I think of Brendan Shanahan.
Brendan Shanahan.
When I see that jersey, yeah. I'm like, that's a Shanahan jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Right
yeah.
there.
And I guess Brett Hull. But, you
Hall
know.
Notes, yeah.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He's from Brett Hull Hockey.
Oh, gotcha.
On Super Nintendo.
I thought they just created him for the game. But,
yeah.
All right, I guess mm-hmm. he's a real person. All right. But I do love the Sabres black and silver.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
the
yes.
Goat head
jerseys. Mm-hmm. I love those. I love the Canucks skate jerseys.
Yeah.
It's more specifically their black ones.
Yeah.
Those are so... you want to talk about clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just see Pavel Bure flying up and down the ice with that thing mm-hmm. on. I don't have a list of jerseys here, but I've got, like, a list of players, and I'm just looking at the teams they're on. The Pittsburgh Robo Penguin jerseys.
That one, yeah.
Love those ones. Still think those look sweet. And then the Mighty Ducks jerseys. Mm-hmm. You just can't go wrong with the Mighty Ducks jerseys. Yeah. I also love the Blackhawks jerseys. I love the Red Wings. I love the Bruins. Who else? Who else can I piss off? I just love those jerseys. No, I hate those jerseys.
Yeah.
But I also like the late 90s Oilers jerseys, like the navy and orange.
The
and
copper.
White and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like those.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of my picks. Just kind of off the top of the old dome here.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
I will stick with the California teams. I think with it being the early 90s, Wayne Gretzky was all over
those
the place.
Kings jerseys.
Those Kings jerseys, especially when they brought them back with the retro.
Yeah.
Keep the chrome helmets. I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
But the crisp white and silver and black Kings jerseys, chef's kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Anaheim, you talked about it last time with San Jose. Like, mm-hmm. I think California really knocked it out of the park with all of their teams.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been doing some kind of, you know, shopping for retro jerseys and stuff like that. The Hartford Whalers jersey.
Oh, of course.
So
Hartford.
Fun.
Yeah.
I like when they went navy as their primary color.
I like that,
like,
too.
The green ones are cool, but, like, I like when they went navy. Like
right, navy,
like
silver,
like a couple
and
years
green.
Before the move. I mm-hmm. like those.
The Vancouver one, white, black, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they just look
they're
nice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I'm partial to the Blues jersey that Steven's wearing. I wish they would bring that back. But jerseys was such a good time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I will say I also liked the Penguins ones with the Pittsburgh going down, like, diagonally.
Yeah.
I can't do the words, man.
Really?
Yeah, I just having your city name going across your chest. I can't do that.
I think the color scheme for me really helped it, like just the black and yellow and white. Maybe it's just the color combination.
Yeah.
I also love the speaking of a. I don't like when the Rangers did it, but I do love their Lady Liberty jerseys.
Oh yeah,
those are sweet.
Is that everything for you, Chris? I don't want to step on.
Oh, no, please step. Let's move.
The white Lady Liberty might be my favorite alternate jersey of all time. They only wore it for one season.
Yep.
And the one person I want to get a Rangers jersey of with the Lady Liberty never wore it. And it's Mark Messier.
Yeah.
But they wore the white one 1 year. And that one's my favorite alternate of all time. But I do love RoboPen, of course, the Blues jerseys, yeah. But the Avalanche jersey. Like, the,
oh, yeah,
the,
duh. I mean,
the
yeah.
Avalanche jerseys that they would, like, go on to wear yeah. in the 90s. But I like the really, like, silky-looking one, yeah. too, that they wore briefly. The material looked kind of, like,
yeah.
silky and shiny. But I like it, it almost like looked like there was like black trim
yeah.
on there, or their helmets were black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those, I mean, everything you guys named, the Ducks, the Kings. I love when the Sharks went to what would become their home and away.
Yeah.
Like that Owen Nolan wore in the late '90s.
With like the silver shoulders.
Yeah. With like the silver shoulders. I mean, I don't know if I can add much more to what you guys
yeah.
already said.
It's all four like-minded.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we
yeah.
know what we like when it comes to hockey jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give an honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Avs, actually the team that they used to be.
Oh, yeah.
The Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah.
Those Nordiques jerseys, there's something about that shade of blue
mm-hmm.
that I just always loved.
Oh, yeah.
I still love that shade of blue in yeah. any application.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It just, it pops. And, of course, you can't go without, speaking of that jersey, without the classic igloo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yeah.
with the hockey stick logo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One jersey. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say Quebec Nordiques legend Eric Lindros.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Would agree with you then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He's like, no, I love the jerseys. I just don't want to play there. But
it was the owner.
He was.
Right. We didn't mention the Kachina jerseys.
Oh,
the Coyotes Kachina jerseys. Yeah. Those are beautiful. God, there was another one I was like looking in here. Oh, when the Capitals switched their jerseys.
Oh, to the
like
Eagle?
The mid to late 90s with the Eagle mm-hmm. on it. Not sure how I feel about the banner on the bottom says Washington,
yeah.
but it's just, that's a cool design. So
their reverse retro that they did
yeah.
with that logo, yeah. but with the red, white, and blue color yeah. scheme.
That sweet. One's pretty cool.
It's gotta be a top so five for cool. me.
Easily.
I know the Pooh Bear jerseys when they were introduced in the '90s for the Bruins get panned, but I do love the Bruins current reverse retro with the Pooh Bear on it with the white. It looks like the colors are inverted, so yeah. it's white and then it's like the black on the shoulders and golden.
Yeah,
that looks slick.
Yeah,
the Pooh Bear ones not so much. But I also am just thinking of like players who wore the jerseys.
Yep.
Like Chris, you'd mentioned when Gretzky played for the Kings,
because that's a big deciding factor as mm-hmm. far as the jerseys.
Yeah.
It's like, who can I envision? Like, who did I see wear that jersey and that made me love that jersey? Like mm-hmm. the Beret with the Canucks.
The mm-hmm. Pittsburgh one that you mentioned.
Yeah.
All I can picture is a beautiful mullet on Yager.
Yep.
Darius Kasparaitis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yager. I mean, that's the quintessential person I see in that jersey is Yager.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But last time, we just touched the surface with one of the most, probably the most important position on the ice, the goalie.
The goalie.
The last time we spent just a few minutes on goalies, yep. Chris is licking his chops here.
Oh, yeah.
So, Matt, you've done something a little special with goalies. We're not just going to name some of the top goalies.
Yeah.
You did so. You have some sort of caveat that you
yeah.
have made note of.
So it's important because I, like Chris, have always been a fan of the goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so what I decided to do, because we went through some of the big names, mm-hmm. I went through and I listed from 1990, the 90-91 season all the way until the 98-99 season,
mm-hmm.
all the top five finalists for the Vezina. You got a lot of the same names in there.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly for the purpose to get some guys who were like, you know, had maybe a nice one-off season in the early 90s
mm-hmm.
where they hit the top five. I've also written down, like, I went through all the all-star teams in the 90s. And, again, a lot of the same names. But a lot of people in here that one or two-time all-stars, but they're kind of lost in the shuffle when
mm-hmm.
it comes to 90s goalies.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I thought I would do is go through these. First, I'd like to go through the 90s All-Star goalies who weren't as lauded,
mm-hmm.
Except there's one in here that just got elected to the Hall of Fame, so it's about as big as it gets.
Yeah.
And these names should spurn some discussion, especially Chris, since you're a goalie guy like I am,
sure,
you will recognize these names.
Joe hates goalies.
Yeah, Joe thinks that we should play with an empty net all the time. But no,
6-on-6.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go through. I made a list of some '90s all-star goalies who weren't as recognized as your Patrick Waugh's, your Dominic Hasek's, but these guys made all-star teams, so I think they deserve some sort of recognition. So first guy on the list I have here is Buffalo Sabres Darren Puppa.
Yeah.
Who was a 1990 All-Star.
One of the best names of all time.
I know. We had had plenty of Darren Puppa hockey cards. You can probably guess why we saved a lot of those.
Yeah.
But no.
He was an All-Star. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Because he was a 1990 All-Star. Well, year before I was born.
For,
yeah.
for the Lightning?
Huh? Yeah. For the Sabres in 1990. So the Grant Fuhr era in Buffalo, which was also the pre-Dominic Hasek era. So Darren Puppa was a Sabres All-Star.
Darren Puppa's great. You know, have you guys ever watched NHL? The NHL YouTube releases like weird NHL, and it's so I watched both volumes of the 90s edition yesterday, and both of them had clips of Darren Puppa taking a puck off the glove.
You're saying it wrong.
Puppa.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with some of these players too. I've heard it multiple times ways. Puppa. But old buddy Darren there took two shots from center ice off the glove into the net. So yeah, he was some goalie.
What year was that? Do you know?
It was his. It
was it 1990?
One was the Sabres and one was the Lightning.
Okay. So, well, if it wasn't 1990, he was an All-Star. In
if it wasn't 1990, then
he wasn't making a whole lot of mistakes, at least according to the voters. Okay. he faced off against what's his name? Patrick Waugh. And the Canadians faced off against the Sabres in the early 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
What's his nuts?
Darren Puppa at the ready, but it's like, what's his name? Oh, Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, exactly.
What's his nuts? Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
Patrick Roy.
We got a two-time All-Star from 1990 and 1992, Vancouver's own Kirk MacLean.
Kirk MacLean's
on the list.
Good guy.
Yeah,
let him
do you know
really him? Good hockey. Yeah. Well, I don't know him personally.
Oh, okay.
He was number one in the program and in the Hearts.
Yeah, so he really was. He's 1994 Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. So he can say that he went to a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. We've got recent Hall of Fame inductee Mike Vernon, who was an All-Star in 1990, 1991, and 1993, all with Calgary.
Yeah.
So
not a flash in a pan goalie, and made quite a bit of splash against the Avalanche in the later 90s.
This is very true.
Yes,
he won a Conn Smythe with the Red Wings.
Yeah,
I've also got. Were you going to say something?
Well, he also got in a fight with Patrick Roy.
That's
this is very true.
That's what I was going to say. He made an impression against the Avalanche.
That is, you are correct.
And
my brain went to pure hockey, whereas. What else do you want to watch hockey for besides the flashy playmaking is the fights.
Yeah. And I said Roy. I know it's Wah. I'm being stupid.
Yes. Thank you.
It comes easy to me.
Bill Ranford.
Bill Ranford.
1991 Stanley Cup champion. 1991 All-Star. Or was it
1990?
90. Yeah, sorry, Darren Puppa. You were just an All-Star in 1990. You didn't win a cup. But Bill Ranford for Edmonton, 1991 NHL All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Ranford memories, Joe, any? Do you have any of them?
I remember him on NHL PA 93. I think I remember lighting him up a couple of times
when
I was playing as the Blues. But
didn't he play for Hartford at one point?
Or Bill Ranford?
Yeah.
Yes?
I don't remember. You know what I'm thinking of? Hartford, Ranford, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I don't think
he was the goalie in the Canada Cup in the early 90s.
It's true.
For
I don't
Canada.
Have that in here. Yeah. Andy Moog.
Ah, yeah.
Was an All-Star in 1991 with Boston and 1997 with the Stars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So pre-Ed Belfour Dallas Stars.
They went pretty far in the 97 playoffs.
Yeah, Andy Moog was pretty old, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he played for a long time. So he kind of stuck in there.
He was a stalwart for the Bruins for many years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Don Beaupre.
For the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
1992 All-Star. Had a sweet mask.
Had a name I could never pronounce.
Exactly. Beaupre. I was the same way. I was like, Beaupre? It's like, but I can still see I had a hockey card, and on the back was just like, it was just a big shot of his mask, and he had like the White House on his mask, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it's a cool mask. Craig Billington was a Devils All-Star in 1993. So
talk about a name that I completely, you name me Dallas goaltender, or not Dallas.
Devils.
New Jersey Devils goaltender in the 90s.
Brodeur.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere but
Chris Terreri. Oh,
yeah, Marty Brodeur.
Yeah, if you're looking for like obscure pre-Martin Brodeur, oh, Chris Terreri. Craig, I think he's from England, too.
He's from England.
London's own, Craig Billington.
All-star goalie for the New Jersey Devils, Craig Billington.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to be confused with the current Blues netminder.
Oh,
as I've seen on several different Blues posts, some of these Boomer fans misspell Bennington's name either Billington. Bennington or Billington.
Jordan Billington.
I do remember, because I do like Bill Burr. I just don't listen to his podcast that much, but I would catch when the Bruins and the, because he's a Boston guy, when the Bruins and the Blues were in the Stanley Cup Finals, I did like hearing his recap of the games, mainly when the Blues won, just to hear him say good things about the Blues. And in Game 7, he was talking about Bennington, but he was like, man, he's like, that Billington kid, like, stood on his head. That was it, Jordan Billington? I was like, no, it's Bennington. But I can't, it's Bill Burr. I'm not going to fault him for it. But John Casey for the Minnesota North Stars, 93 All-Star. Yeah. So, and also...
bad memories with John Casey.
Shoot, I forgot. It's like, John Casey, hooray! Oh, shit. Turnover in the neutral zone. It's beat over the right shoulder. And Steve Yzerman.
Double overtime.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't give me nightmares tonight.
All right, I can see his shoulder. I can see the way his shoulder moves in the number 30 Casey Blues jersey. Sorry, everybody.
You know, every time John Casey's brought up, I think of Casey Jones.
Ah, yeah. See, there you go. That's a positive
I don't immediately go to the negative, JoJo.
There you
go. I think of Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles.
My childhood was ruined in 1996 because of that team.
Thanks, I'm Mike sorry. Keenan. Do you need a minute?
Fuck you, Mike Keenan.
Yeah, exactly. Which we did an episode about Mike Keenan on From the Point.
And
it was,
do that.
It was a wonderful episode.
Mm-hmm.
The great Archis Urbe was an all-star. So for San Jose.
San Jose Shark legend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of the guys that didn't wear like a contemporary goalie mask. He had like the white, the white top with the cage.
The ugly, it looks so ugly.
Oh yeah,
the college cage.
Exactly. It's like grow up. It's like get an adult mask. But in '94 with San Jose, in 1999 with the Hurricanes, formerly the Hartford Whalers,
went to a Cup final in 2002.
Yeah, he did.
Hurricanes.
Felix Potvin, Felix the Cat.
Yeah.
So before Curtis Joseph in Toronto, there was Felix Potvin holding down the fort.
It was when they were conference rivals of the Blues.
Yeah. So 94 and 96, the aforementioned Guy Hebert, 1997 with the Ducks. Olaf Kolzig,
Ole the goalie,
98 with the Capitals. It's so crazy that Mike Vernon is in here just with all these guys. He's like, I'm a Hall of Famer. What am I doing here?
Yeah. Right.
It's like, it's just when you think of the 90s, not everyone's gonna be like, oh, Mike Vernon, one of the best goalies in the 90s. Nikolai Hobbyboulin,
Boulin
for Phoenix,
one of the best nicknames for a goalie, Boulin Wall.
For sure. One of the three people I think of when I think of the Kachina Coyotes jerseys. Kachuk, Roenick, and Hobbyboulin.
Won a Stanley Cup in 2004 with the Lightning.
Yep, he did. Ron, with, speaking of last names, one of the best last names ever. Ron Tugnut. Did you see my paper? Did you know where I was going with that?
I knew where you're going with it.
Because I said Ron. I was like, wait a second.
And I think Ron Tugnut and Darren Poopa had to have...
had some weird fetishes. Yeah, Tugnut versus Poopa. It's like, what the hell's going on in that bathroom?
Just a bunch of high fives and everything.
Exactly.
We got the best names in the NHL.
Exactly.
I do think it's a pretty cool... pretty cool hockey card, Ron Tugnut for the Ducks.
Yeah.
He was one of the first goalies for the Ducks. He was, I think, their first starter, because Guy Hebert was their first like pick in the expansion draft and like the first all-star, but Ron Tugnut, I think, was their first goalie.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ron Tugnut for Ottawa in 1999. Tim Cheveldae in 1992.
Here comes Cheveldae!
For Detroit. You want to talk goalie fights?
Yeah.
Cheveldae and Cujo. And then Peter Sidorkovich for the Senators in 1993.
I was gonna say because he was also a Whalers goalie for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do we want to do non goalie stuff before I go on to the Vezina finalists?
Let's keep going with goalies.
Let's keep going with
That's
goalies.
That's okay with our guests.
Can I say something about goalies?
Please, yes, please.
Of course.
The amount of love that Chris Osgood is getting because Mike Vernon is now in the Hall. Now everyone's saying, "Oh, Osgood should be next." He's the best backup goalie ever. That's all he is. In my opinion, that's all he will ever be.
He did enough.
That pisses me off.
With the team in front of him. He was good enough. And also, he sucked for the Blues. And so that also gets under my skin as well. Mm-hmm. The Blues like to get a lot of Detroit's cast-offs. Manny Legacy, Chris Osgood. At least Osgood won a cup. But anywho, enough about Chris Osgood.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wanted to bring that up. Let's continue with the goalie talk.
Yeah, so let's get more goalie talk. So some of the Vezina finalists, top five Vezina finalists from 1990-91 season all the way down to the 98-99 season. So we've got, and I'm going to do 2 through 5 and then say who the winner was.
Mm-hmm.
Runner-up, Patrick Waugh from Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, he's going to be on this list a lot. Mike Richter for the Rangers.
Ooh, Captain America.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. There's a cool video on YouTube. It's like an hour and a half long documentary about the 93-94 Rangers.
Yeah.
And he, like, that playoff series, he stood on his head in a lot of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Rudy for the Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Another guy I think of in those Kings jerseys.
I think of his mullet and his mask with the
neck protector. That's what I think of.
And then when he became a big boy and got a real goalie mask, the design on it was the Hollywood sign. I'm sorry. Unless you're Dominic Hasek, I hate those old masks. I hate them. Maybe it's just because... Growing up, and I should have made a list of best goalie masks from the 90s. Because it's just that was what drew me to goalies was the designs on the goalie masks.
Cujo. End of conversation.
Easy. Both designs he had.
Mm-hmm. Although I'll give a nod to Beezer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just anytime, if you're on a team like the Panthers or the Sharks, you got to have like a big cat on there. You got to have like a big shark in there somewhere. Kelly Rudy had the Hollywood sign on his.
I also think I watched a clip yesterday of when Al McInnes played for the Flames.
Mm-hmm.
He ripped a slap shot. It was against the Kings, and he ripped a slap shot that broke the glass.
Yeah.
Behind the goal.
Yeah.
And Kelly Rudy it's a really just like. Apparent like duck out of the way.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting in the way of that.
It's like I can't imagine Kelly Rudy looking at that broken glass and be like, what if it hit me in the face?
Yeah.
What if it hit you in the face?
You can dodge a puck, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah, exactly. And the fifth runner up before I get to who won this thing and you guys won't be happy with it. The fifth runner up was Andy Moog for Boston.
Andy Moog was in Vezina contention a lot in the early 90s.
I would say if I had a list or if I could had to say most underrated goalies of the 90s, Andy Moog would be on that list.
He was on the cover of NHL 94. There's nothing underrated about that.
Yeah, exactly. He's a cover athlete and there was no curse or anything. So fuck Andy Moog. No, I'm sure he's a nice guy. And the winner of the 1990-1991 Vezina was Ed Belfour.
But deserving. Like
very deserving.
I hate the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Time and time again, I've talked about it. However,
Belfour.
That was an amazing rookie year.
Yep.
To win Rookie of the Year, to win the Vezina. He took the league by storm.
He did.
He kind of raised the bar for expectations of both.
Yeah.
We've already had the Patrick Waugh's and the Grant Fuhrers of that time.
Yeah.
But he was just like, oh, yeah, let's make being a goalie popular again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that, Curtis Joseph versus Ed Belfour, that's what you think of.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Especially since it seems like the 90s became more goalie-friendly as well.
Pads are bigger.
Pads are bigger. They extended the crease.
The
and
styles.
Made it,
I mean,
they got penalized
styles.
For crossing the
neutral
crease.
Neutral zone trap.
The trap.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it was called the dead puck era for a reason, so.
Yeah, you got a lot more, like, butterfly guys. They're not playing too much stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
But 1991-1992, Vezina finalists. Here we go. The runner-up was Kirk McLean that year
mm-hmm.
for the Canucks.
Okay.
Here's a name, Bob Esenza.
Oh, wow.
For the Jets.
Yeah.
He was third place in Vezina voting, so
good
he
for
had
him.
A big year. Ed Belfour drops down to 4. So
Ed Belfour.
Yeah, there you go. So still good. Here's, keep in mind, these are still good seasons for these guys. If you're in the top five of Vezina finalists. And then Tim Chevalier for the Red Wings in 91-92. And the winner that year, the Montreal Canadiens, Patrick Roy.
Yeah.
Patrick Roy. 92-93, Tom Barrasso was the runner-up. Pittsburgh, current Hall of Fame inductee. Former Blue.
Yeah.
Yep. What a save by Barrasso. Curtis Joseph was third.
Ah,
92-93 for your St. Louis Blues. Felix Potvin, number 4 for Toronto. Andy Moog, again, number 5. A little Moog root beer. And then Belfour wins again that year.
Can I just say, I said it. You can go ahead. I think Curtis Joseph is the greatest Blues goalie of all time.
I do, too.
I think just for consistency, he was in the net for most of the 90s appearances. Mm-hmm. And since then, we've been – although Bennington's the one who gave us the Stanley Cup.
Billington.
Sorry. Someone like Mike Liut is of course, he's legendary in the organization. Glenn Hall.
Yeah.
All these goalies. I don't know. For consistency-wise, I think Curtis Joseph's the greatest Blues goalie of
all
time.
Bring up – he's the standard, I think, by a lot
we
of
mentioned
Blues
that
goalies.
In the Chicago Blackhawks episode.
Yeah.
You still, to this day, if you're talking Blues goaltenders, he's who is the litmus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
agreed.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can really.
Pat Jablonski, maybe. But
yeah, I always remember people's criticism against Cujo. They're like, oh, he's a choke artist. And then it's like, well, hold on a second. Every Blues goalie, if you're going it by the fact that the Blues never won a cup with him, then you could say every Blues goalie is a choke artist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, until Jordan Bennington. So it's like, I just thought that argument was always stupid. 93-94 Vezina finalist John Van Beesbrouck was a runner up.
The Beezer.
The Beezer. Mm-hmm. 93-94 is his first year in Florida. Yeah.
Okay, because, he was in the expansion draft, right?
Yeah. Patrick Roy. Curtis Joseph again.
Shocker.
And I only wrote 4, it looks like. Dominic Hasek won the Vezina that year. That'd be his first of 6. 94-95. Ed Belfour is the runner-up. Somebody Stop Me, Jim Carrey was a...
Wow.
not Jim that Carrey, Jim not, Carrey.
Jim Carrey, nut detective.
Yeah, exactly.
Former St. Louis Blue.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, he was. Was net detective? Was that...
Yeah.
Like...
That's brilliant.
I never heard that. That's awesome.
I never heard that
wasn't
before.
At one point, wasn't our goalie depth chart Grant Fuhr, John Casey, and Jim Carrey? Jamie McLennan.
I think that was the 96-97 season.
Yeah.
It was the same year that Keenan got the axe.
He's like, but I got you, Jim Carrey. we didn't want that, Jim Carrey. He's talking with his butt, goddammit.
Exactly. Newly inducted Hall of Famer Mike Vernon was 4th. Pittsburgh's Ken Reggett.
Ken Reggett.
Wow.
I know. Top 5 in Vezina finalists for 94-95.
It was a shortened season.
Maybe
Tom Barrasso was hurt.
Yeah.
I don't remember. 94-95.
Hasek won the Vezina trophy that year. 95-96. Chris Osgood. The aforementioned Chris Osgood was a runner-up. Darren Pupa. Tampa Bay's Darren Pupa was 3rd.
Bringing it on back.
So, but he wasn't an all-star, so who cares?
Not an all-star Pupa.
Yeah, exactly. Martin Brodeur was 4th. Ron Hextall was 5th. And then the aforementioned butt talker, Jim Carrey, won the Vezina Trophy
that year
for Washington.
Yeah.
So what is this world coming to?
I don't know.
I mean, I know the world was obsessed with Jim Carrey, but it's like I feel like he's a beneficiary of that Jim Carrey mania.
Yeah.
Anyone named Jim Carrey?
I never thought of that.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think that's true. 96-97, Brodeur was runner-up. Patrick Roy was number 3. Guy Hebert was number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Joseph of the Edmonton Oilers was number 5. And Dominic Hasek won again. And that was the year he also won the Hart Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is not common for goalies.
Mm-mm.
Looks like 97, 98. I only wrote four again. Brodeur was the runner-up. Barrasso was third. Belfour was fourth. And Hasek won again. 98, 99. Cujo was runner-up. Byron Defoe.
Byron Defoe was number three.
Lord Byron Defoe.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Martin Brodeur was fourth. Our favorite guy, Ron Tugnutt, was fifth.
Ah.
And then Hasek won the Vezina again. So a lot of Dominic Hasek in there. So I just wanted to give the goalies a bit more love in that section.
Mm-hmm.
Question about awards.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You mentioned Dominic Hasek won the Hart Trophy as well as the Vezina. Do you think that, like, I don't know, maybe defensemen and goaltenders, since they already have their own, like, specialized...
Technically, yeah.
Do you think they should qualify for
the Hart Trophy?
The Hart Trophy.
That's I've never like, thought about it before.
Because forwards can't win a Vezina.
Right.
You know, goalies can't win the Norris.
That's very true. I never thought about that before. I think when it comes to voting on the Hart Trophy, I think that works against them. But I don't know if I would say they shouldn't be allowed. I think if you have such a transcendent season, like a Hasek or Chris Pronger, and it's almost undeniable, like, the value you have to your team, I think you should definitely be allowed. But I can easily see it in terms of voting. I could see it working against them, that they have their own award. Like, we'll give him the Vezina. He won't get the Hart. We'll give him the Vezina. You know, here's the runner-up to the Hart. We'll give it to him.
Kind of right.
I don't know. I've never thought about it before. That's a good point.
Yeah, so let's divert away from players just for a second, because something that not only was monumental with the inclusion of hockey in this genre of entertainment, but also that saw quite the evolution in the 90s, and that was video games.
Yes.
Now, we had mentioned in part one about NHL 94. We even used the NHL 94 theme for the intro of that episode. Joe, you mentioned NHL PA 93 in that episode, and then just right now in NHL 93 or NHL PA 93, they had the licensing from the Players Association, so they could use the players, but not the logos or the team names. So you'd have like Long Island versus St. Louis, which is just Islanders Blues.
Yeah.
But there was a myriad of video game releases during the 1990s, and I'd like to name them for you all, if that's okay with you guys.
You can credit it with that's a portion that saw the exponential growth the NHL.
And these are the non-NHL series titles. So I've left out NHL 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. So real quick, Sega Slapshot for the Arcade Master System. You familiar?
Go ahead.
Wayne Gretzky Hockey 2 and 3, which my phone almost corrected to Wayne Gretzky Hickey, which would be a weird dating game.
Give Wayne Gretzky a hickey.
No, I got to play tomorrow. I got a photo shoot.
You have to play as Janet Gretzky.
No, I got to play tomorrow. I got a photo shoot. And that was for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Mario Lemieux Hockey for Sega.
The best fighting engine in all of the...
Really?
Nice.
I
used to like to play that game just because the fighting was fun.
Hell yeah.
I digress. Go ahead.
No.
NHL.
Feel free to jump in at any point.
Yeah, like, interrupt us. Yeah. NHL Hockey for Sega Genesis and Sega Mega Drive. Hit the Ice for Arcade Super NES, Sega Genesis, TurboGrafx-16, and Game Boy.
Hit the Ice was a very slow style game, a slow pace, side-to-side scrolling. Uh-huh. Very, very arcadey.
Nice.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But only just. Like, I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah.
But it cured a hockey itch. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I think that's what a lot of people miss, too, in hockey games. Every sports game now is like a simulation style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just bring back fun NHL hits. Bring back fun games.
I'm playing NHL Hits Pro right now.
Really?
I'm recording a podcast right now.
Yeah.
Right. No, I'm playing NHL Hits Pro for GameCube.
Nice.
I just started playing it like 2 days ago.
Nice.
And I'm having so much fun.
It's a blast.
I want them to come out with another arcade hockey like that. You know? You can keep the players, keep the teams and everything, but give me just amazing hits and a turbo button and, you know, checking people through the glass, maybe two or three a shift. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's just fun.
It's just that's
stupid fun.
It's the problem with sports games. This is about sports games now. No, like most sports games, if not all of them, all the leagues, the rights to each is like dedicated to like one publisher. Mm-hmm. So you don't have anymore all these different studios putting out. You can choose what hockey game you want to play. You can choose what football game, what baseball game you want to play. Like big companies bought up the rights and stuff, like EA Sports and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like you want to play hockey, you're gonna get this game, or especially with the Madden games. Like, well, either you're gonna play it. Either that or you don't play a football game this year. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I digress. Sorry.
Yeah. You talked about something. You mentioned simulator. I tuned out what you were saying.
That's okay.
That's
all right.
Hockey simulator on floppy disk. All right.
Floppy disk with Ron Tugnut.
exactly. That's floppy dicks.
Oh, sorry.
Ron Tugnut. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is on floppy disk. It's a lot of...
It's like Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah,
exactly. NHL Stanley Cup for SNES and Super Famicom.
That one makes you dizzy as hell, but also a fun one.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it could use teams and logos, but not players.
I was always a Pittsburgh Penguins. Number 25 always assisted the goals from number 66 or 68.
I think Al Michaels did play-by-play for that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just the audio recording of, do you believe in miracles? Yes. Do you believe in number 66? Yes.
Number 68?
Yes.
Pro Sport Hockey for SNES and for Super Nintendo and for Nintendo had all 26 teams and access to actual rosters of players. Brett Hull NHL Hockey for Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever play that one?
No. Why are you looking at me?
Well,
you tell me.
Did you guys ever play that one?
Honestly, even growing up in St. Louis, no, I didn't.
I would think they probably would give that away like Tide samples in the mail.
Yeah, exactly.
Or with McDonald's Happy Meals.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be cool.
I mean, but it just wasn't very good. Like,
yeah,
you're not gonna send mail samples of Tide if it was a shitty detergent.
True. That's true. Well, it's because the developer or whoever released the game signed a contract with Brett Hull and with Pele.
They got the sports mixed up. Yeah. Brett Hull soccer.
Probably would have been better.
Probably.
And Pele got a game, the now late Pele,
yeah.
Considered the greatest soccer player of all time. Pele got a game and Brett Hull got a game.
Yeah.
I just wanted them to do a commercial together. So
that would have been great.
Like kind of like the Bonos commercials.
Yeah.
So Turbo Sports Hockey on the TurboGrafx-16. Mutant Hockey League on Sega Genesis. Now that one is considered one of the most famous of the non-NHL related games. You guys have played that one, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, it's such a well-done game because it was run off of the same NHL 94 engine.
Like
it's copy and paste. It was made by Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
It's in the same vein as the other ones. And they just kind of reskinned it, put on some wild and kooky situations and called it a new game. But it worked flawlessly. Like Mutant League Football ran off the Madden engine.
Okay.
You know, same basic concept. Even on the Sega Genesis, it had that little yellow tab on it.
Yeah.
So you knew it was Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
We also need that more.
Sports. It's in the game.
Yeah, just like fun, like characters and stuff. Was NHL Rock the Rink in the 90s?
2000.
Or? Oh, okay.
That was, I loved playing NHL Rock the Rink. Was Mutant. So ESPN National Hockey Night. Which maybe that was Al Michaels. I don't know. It was on Super Nintendo and Genesis and Sega CD. Wayne Gretzky and NHLPA All-Stars for Super Nintendo and for Genesis. NHL All-Star Hockey for Genesis. 2-on-2 Open Ice Challenge, which was an arcade, PlayStation Windows, and inspired by NBA Jam.
Yeah, that's the hockey version of NBA Jam.
That sounds awesome.
That's a good jam.
The NHL Face-Off series, NHL Power Play 96 for the Sega Saturn, and Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey for N64.
Nice.
So
last year, you guys brought up, and you were completely joking around about it,
yeah.
And I thought it was such a weird thing to say, Street Hockey 95.
Oh, yeah.
You brought that up.
It was a real game, but I was joking that George Clinton was on the front. Nice.
I owned it.
Nice.
And it was... pretty bad.
Of course.
But it was kind of fun, too, because sure. you can, like, you it's hit the turbo hockey. Button. Yeah. Yeah, you skate, and then if you pass the net, you can, like, kind of go up on this half-pipe thing and then come back down. Nice. And do all sorts of... It was really weird, but it was such a small little nugget of information yeah. that you even brought it up. I was like, holy shit, someone else has heard of this game?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of cool.
With the Rasta man on the cover. Yep. That, I was like, oh, it's George Clinton, even though I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But George Clinton had his... I'm not going to talk about what George Clinton had his hands in. All right, so let's...
who he had his hands in.
Exactly. Parliament and Funkadelic. That's
Good Burger.
He produced the first Red Hot Chili Peppers record.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guest on How I Met Your Mother.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. One episode for like 30 seconds.
Huh. Well, how about that? He just kind of does what he wants, it sounds like. Yeah. Or he needs money. I don't know, whichever one. Yeah. Here's some other things that brought in money. What about some movies? Some hockey movies. Let's talk about it.
We talked about Mighty Ducks on the show. We mentioned it in part one. Yeah. Of course, the most famous hockey movie might be Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. I mean, the spike in youth hockey mm-hmm. after that movie came mm-hmm. out. Like, it started a whole franchise. Not just franchise of movies, but, like, a whole NHL franchise. Yeah. Which, I haven't watched it yet, but there's a 30 for 30 that came out, like, a month ago.
It's an E60.
Okay, but mm-hmm. still, like Once Upon a Time in Anaheim or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's about all of that. Yeah. So.
The Cutting Edge. These are also hockey adjacent. So, like, the Cutting Edge... D.B. Sweeney's character is a hockey player, and then Moira Kelly, who played the voice of Nala in Lion King, she's a snooty figure skater, and he's a down-on-his-luck hockey player who got hurt and didn't make the NHL, and they become a figure skating team.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that cute?
Sounds like something Brian Boitano would do.
It's adorable.
Yeah, that's great.
Is it Brian Boitano?
Yeah.
I'm sad to say I don't know who that is.
Figure skater from the 90s.
Oh.
But it's also a South Park reference.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What would Brian Boitano do if he were here right now?
I'm not a good 90s kid. I didn't watch South Park.
I thought you say I don't know the figure skaters from the 90s.
Scott Hamilton. That's it. Scott Hamilton.
Not the male one.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan. Tanya Harding.
Tara Lipinski.
Michelle Kwan.
Yeah.
Mr. Brett or Mrs. Brett Hedekin. Christy Yamaguchi. Yeah.
Jeff Galooly.
yep. And then
that's all.
Yeah, this episode of the Radcast is brought to you by Nancy Kerrigan's favorite letter. Why?
We're going to hell.
Yeah.
She's all right. She didn't die.
She went on to make a lot of money with her touring ice shows.
Yeah.
Like, so good for her.
Yeah. Also, there was an SNL skit with Nancy Kerrigan and Chris Farley as an ice skating duo.
It was great. D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Of course.
Fantastic.
As a kid, I loved. Now I still like it. But when I, as an adult, I watched it, and I'm like, they're breaking so many rules.
Yeah.
So many times, like, that should have been a penalty. Mm-hmm. That should have been a goal. Goldberg sucks. I hate Goldberg.
Should have been offside.
Should have been offside. Yeah.
Julie the Cat Gaffney. Love Julie the Cat Gaffney.
Oh, yeah.
Sudden Death.
Yes.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah.
One of my favorite Sucktastic episodes that you guys have done.
That was a great movie.
I love that movie.
I love it. So great episode. Great movie. Luke Robitaille with a wonderful cameo. Mm-hmm. Him and Van Damme speaking French to each other.
Uh-huh. D3, the Mighty Ducks, 1996.
I like D3, the Mighty Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
It's inferior to its predecessors, but it still feels like a Mighty Ducks movie.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Happy Gilmore, 1996.
Of course.
Again, these are hockey adjacent as well, so Happy Gilmore.
Price is Wrong, Bob.
Price is Wrong, Bob.
Yeah. Was it Bob or was it Bitch?
It was Bitch, but if you showed it on TV, it was Bob.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you've had enough, bitch.
Just the way Bob Barker said it. Yeah. Les Boys, which is a French-Canadian movie about a low-level amateur hockey team. They made three of those.
And there's also an Amazon TV show called Les Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Different.
Got pretty violent based on comic book.
Yeah.
Les Boys 2, H.E. Double Hockey Sticks, which was like a Disney movie with like Matthew Lawrence and Will Friedle.
Yeah.
And then Mystery Alaska in 1999. Which wasn't Russell Crowe in that movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Russell Crowe. When you were talking about Les Boys, I thought you were going to say Les Boys 2 Back to the Hood.
Yep. Whatever the hood is in Quebec.
Yeah. But what about some Stanley Cup winners? We didn't. We hardly talked about the Stanley Cup on part one.
There were some rivalries in the 90s, too.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of saw themselves come to a head in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, according to the NHL Network, the top nine on the top rivalries of the 90s were Canadiens and Sabres at number 10.
Mm-hmm.
There were Adams Division rivals four times in the playoffs. Face-off, Patrick Waugh versus Darren Pupa versus Grant Fuhr.
1990 All-Star Darren Pupa.
Final meeting with Andy Moog and Dominic Hasek. Stars and Red Wings was a big rivalry.
That was relatively newer, but it got heated pretty quick.
Yeah. Penguins versus Capitals.
Wait, was it the North Stars or was it the Dallas Stars?
So I think...
Because I can see Minnesota and...
In the Cup Final. Yeah. In 91.
91 against the Penguins, the first Penguins that win.
I think they were highlighting the Dallas Stars versus the Red Wings.
They did mention... They did mention...
Oh, it was late 90s? Okay.
Yeah, they did mention the North Stars, though. They're like, the North Stars had their battles, but this is more like the dad when they became Dallas.
Okay.
Penguins and Capitals.
Yeah.
They met a lot. Still,
yeah. Like four times in the playoffs in the 90s.
Oilers and Flames. So that's a...
Battle of Alberta.
Oh, Battle of Alberta. Yeah. Mm. Rangers and Flyers, which is another as an East Coast battle. Oilers and Stars, which was, that had some heat in the late 90s.
Yeah. They highlighted a lot of the playoff. Never mind. They highlighted them. They didn't say, like... In the regular season,
upon playoff stuff.
But I remember
stuff.
when I did research based on that list, I just kind of looked at where they matched up in the playoffs.
Blues versus Blackhawks at number 4. Of course, you guys did a whole episode on the Blues Blackhawks, not just playoff stuff, but just the rivalry in general. Yeah.
Visions of Ed Belfour destroying the Blues visiting locker room.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Number 3, Canadiens and Bruins, an original six matchup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, the Rangers and the Devils, which happened multiple times.
Yep.
And number 1 was the Avalanche and the Red Wings. That was
easy pick.
That was a blood feud.
Yep. Yeah. Vernon versus Waugh. I mean,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Claude Lemieux played real dirty
on Chris Draper.
Chris Draper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you said the word rivals, I want to talk about rivals for a second. When you said that, you can see I got goosebumps on my arm right now.
Oh yeah.
And I immediately was just like, oh, it's Detroit and
Colorado.
Colorado.
A literal blood feud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for that was absolutely insane.
Bad blood for years after that. I made some notes of some 90s playoff moments.
I would even throw in, like, the Blues and the Red Wings for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. And then, so a couple things with that, though. Once, kitty. Once Detroit left the Central Division, like, I don't really have a whole lot of hatred for them anymore.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But when, like, the Blues in Detroit, they had some massive bouts, and it was really good. And then when Colorado came in, it was just like that spat between the Blues and the Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a feud.
No. Yeah.
No.
It's a little dust up you have with your little brother, but
we just mentioned, it got violent fast between the Avalanche and the Red Wings.
And they met a lot.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So you mentioned some playoff moments.
Just some brief playoff moments that kind of, like, when you think of 90s hockey, these come to mind. Messier guarantees the Game 6 win in the Eastern Conference Final. And we will, the Gary Thorne call. He said we will win Game 6. He has just picked up the hat trick when he scores on the empty net. Vladimir Konstantinov, when they won the 97-98 Cup, the year prior they won the Cup. The Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And Konstantinov got in a really bad car accident, left him paralyzed. And so when they won the next year, he joined them on the ice for the Cup celebration. Mm-hmm. And that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Brett Hull scores a game winner in the 99 Stanley Cup Finals in the third OT. His foot was briefly in the crease. Then before he shot the puck, he pulled it out. So I think there was a lot of controversy there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just talk about heartbreak for the Blues in the 90s, seeing your franchise player go to another team and win the cup the first season that he's there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's heartbreaking.
Rough. Oh, yeah.
It destroyed me as a kid, for sure. The longest game in cup history was Edmonton and Boston in game one in 1990. I should have written down how long it was. So just know that it was long. I think it was like 4 hours or something. It like went into like the next day. Stefan Matteau in game seven.
Matteau!
In the Eastern Conference Final, one of the more classic calls. And then Uwe Krupp in game four from beyond the arc or beyond the blue line, beating John Van Beesbrook in the third overtime.
The Avalanche and Panthers.
So those are just some quick kind of playoff moments, kind of focused a bit more on the later rounds.
Yeah.
Because you could, I mean, Curtis Joseph, what, stopping like 75 shots in the first round against, in one of the playoffs, against Toronto, I think. So in
I don't know why Dallas is sticking out. But
no, this was like early 90s.
Okay. The Blues.
So,
I have these blurbs about cup winners.
Yeah.
Again, is there, you guys still doing okay? Still doing all right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to the 2000s already.
I'm loving it.
Already.
This is great.
Yeah. So just real quick, I'm going to start honorable mention 89-90 Stanley Cup champs was the Edmonton Oilers is the end of their run as a juggernaut.
They did it without Gretzky.
A Gretzky less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Bill Ranford more.
Yeah.
Suck on that poopa.
Yeah, exactly. 90... Suck on that poopa.
Don't
suck on the poopa. It's got bacteria in it.
They got 90 points. They had the 90 points that season. They beat the Blackhawks in the Campbell Conference Finals, the Kings in the Smythe Division Finals, and the Jets in the Smythe Division Semifinals, led by Mark Messier, who led the team in points with 129.
I miss when the divisions were named after people.
Yeah.
I kind of get goosebumps with the old names, the Patrick, the Adams, the Smythe, and the Norris Division.
Yeah.
Tingleys.
The Campbell Conference, the Whalers Conference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And what is it, 94 that they changed to like,
the Western Conference. Yeah.
So he was supported offensively by the likes of Jari Kurri, Glenn Anderson, and Esa Tiikanen. The goalie tandem of Bill Ranford and Grant Fuhr. Ranford, 24 wins, Fuhr with 9. Craig Simpson and Messier tied for team lead in playoff scoring with 31 points. Ranford's playoff record was 16-6 in 22 games played. Third goalie, Pokey Redick, saw 2 minutes of play, facing one shot and making one save.
Good job, Pokey.
He would go on to play only 4 more games in the NHL, a long fall from his fourth place Vezina voting finish in the 86-87 season for the Jets.
Pokey Redick sounds like one of the goalies from like the turn of the century when they had
all he does is
Pokey Redick makes a save.
He has a long stick and he never faces a shot because he always poke checks the puck away.
Exactly.
He was the featured goalie and hit the ice.
Exactly.
That's why we called him Pokey.
At the start of the 1990-1991 season, the Pittsburgh Penguins won. They had 88 points that year and they beat the North Stars 4-2. In the finals, the 27-39-68 point.
Sir.
Yeah,
was that the series? Or yeah, was that the series where Mario Lemieux scored like the most disgusting
goal
on John Casey?
Yep.
Beautiful. Well,
don't forget rallying around Badger Bob Johnson.
Who
was battling also cancer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They beat the 68-point North Stars, who had a losing record going into the playoffs. And the North Stars had beaten the 47-22, 105-point Blues in the Norris Division Finals. The Blues should have beat the Stars. Then they'd have faced and beat the 80-point Oilers. And then we could have been the ones to get our asses kicked by the Penguins. So we could have at least... I'm picturing it now. That would have been awesome. Penguins, Blues, Stanley Cup in 1990-91.
Scott Stevens on the blue line.
Yeah. That could have been our first Stanley Cup. But
if you look at that Penguins team, I don't think
Mario Lemieux,
Yager, also the veteran savvy of Brian Trottier, four Stanley Cups already.
Isn't Larry Murphy also on that
Larry Murphy, Joe Mullen, Tom Barrasso. But Mark Recchi led the team regular season scoring with 113 points, followed by John Cullen, Paul Coffey, and Kevin Stevens, who tied Recchi for the team leading goals. Jágr had a fair showing, and Mario Lemieux was hurt for a lot of the season, but still getting 45 points in 26 games. Season tandem.
Jesus 45 Christ. Points in 26 games.
The season tandem of Tom Barrasso and Frank Pietrangelo. It's spelt like Pietrangelo.
Well, they are related. I think they're like second cousins, if I'm not mistaken.
And I've heard Frank Pietrangelo being announced or being pronounced Pietrangelo. So I'll just say Frank Pietrangelo. 27 wins for Barrasso, 10 for Pietrangelo. Super Mario bounced back and led the team in playoff points with 44. Tom Barrasso played in 20 games, picking up a 12-7 playoff record. Pietrangelo saw some action and obtained a 4-1 playoff record. The next season, the Penguins did 87 points and won again and then swept the Blackhawks in the final.
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah, baby.
we did it. Mario Lemieux is back, but not a full season again. However, in 64 games, he'd lead the team in points with 131. And just 64 games, 131 points. Kevin Stevens trails behind with 123, but leads the team in goals with 54, both followed by the likes of Joe Mullen, Larry Murphy, and Mark Recchi. Jágr makes a little more noise, and the 90-91 late season acquisition of Ron Francis starts finding his place on the team. Barrasso plays 57 games, 25-22 record, and a .885 save percentage. It's not that great. Ugh. But he split starts with the likes of Wendell Young and Ken Reggett. So you mentioned Ken Reggett earlier.
Ken Reggett.
Lemieux leads the team in playoff scoring, again with 34 points, and Barrasso has a 16-5 playoff record. This would be it for the Pens Cup glory for another 17 years. So the Penguins wouldn't win again until 2009.
So side note about this.
Uh-huh.
Mark Recchi was like the Energizer Bunny.
Man.
He had such a long, established career.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And he's constantly, he's just super consistent.
In his last few years, he was more like a journeyman. He jumped from team to team, but still ended up on the Penguins again for that 2009 Stanley Cup. But yeah, Mark Recchi was all over the place in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew him best for the Flyers, but as you saw, Penguins.
Bruins.
The Bruins. Yep. He was on the Canadiens.
You said Flyers already.
Yeah, Flyers. Yeah. I think he was on the Canadiens 93 Stanley Cup team.
Yep.
Mark Recchi's a Hall of Famer, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Him and John LeClaire I loved on the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Legion of Doom.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 92-93 Canadiens, 102 points, beat the Kings 4-1 in the Cup. Islanders in the Wales Conference Finals, Sabres and Adams Division Finals, and the Nordiques in the Adams Division Semifinals. Guy Carboneau captained the team in the playoffs, but Vinny Domfus led the team in points for the season of 97, followed by Kirk Mueller and team leader in goals, Brian Bellows.
I'm Brian Bellows.
former Minnesota North Star goal scorer, Brian Bellows. Goalie tandem of Patrick Waugh playing in 62 games and obtaining a 31-25 record and a .894 save percentage and 3.20 goals against, which is not his best showing. That's not great.
I was going to say .894. You have a goalie doing that in today's NHL.
Oh,
and
God.
The fans and everyone is going to kill you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, it's Patrick Waugh, 894, big deal. Stanley Cup. You glossed over the last Canadian winning Stanley Cup.
It's very true.
I'm getting there.
Oh, my bad.
Jumping the gun.
I was just so excited.
Waugh came alive in the playoffs, though. Notched a 16-4 record with a .929 save percentage and a 2.19 goals against.
That's the important thing.
And he won the Conn Smythe. Vinny Domfus continued his scoring ways by leading the team with 23 playoff points. This marked the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup and the last of the Canadiens' 24th championship so far.
To quote Billy Smith, your whole life is on the line in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Billy who? No, I'm kidding. the Rangers in 93-94, who we've mentioned a couple times already, 112 points. Their coach was Mike Keenan. He made a lot of moves in the late season, just looking.
He just so happened to do all the right things.
Yeah, but the thing is, he kind of, like he would with the Blues, took some young scorers and shipped them off elsewhere to get veterans so that he could build a Stanley Cup team for then, and then just whatever happened later on with the Rangers happened. But he was so focused on winning the Stanley Cup then that he shipped off people like Doug Weight and Tony Amani and Mike Gardner, who was a veteran presence, but you know, didn't have Stanley Cup like Glenn Anderson did. So the Rangers won the Cup in 93-94. 94-95 was a shortened season. The Devils, 52 points, swept the Red Wings. During the lockout shortened season, Stefan Richer leads the team in points by notching 39 points in 45 games, followed by John McClain, Neil Broughton, Bill Guerin, and Captain Scott Stevens. Richer leads the team in playoff points of 21, and Marty Brodeur owns the opposition in the playoffs with a .927 save percentage and 1.67 goals against.
That's real good.
So, yeah. And the 95-96 Avalanche win the Stanley Cup with 104 points to swept the Panthers. Joe Sakic captains the squad after the move to Quebec, or move from Quebec, has 51 goals that year and 120 points. Right behind him is Peter Forsberg, Valerie Kaminsky, who is a 90s presence.
Valerie Kaminsky. Claude
Lemieux.
That's a name.
Oh, yeah. Him and Sanis Ozolinch was it.
Sanis Ozolinch is a name, too.
He had quite the solid decade of play, and he was a defenseman, so he was a pretty high scoring
Kaminsky
defenseman.
Or Ozolinch?
Ozolinch.
Yeah.
So they went on to win the Stanley Cup. So Claude Lemieux was on the team, and he's fresh off a Stanley Cup win with the Devils. The goalie situation was a little different from the time the Avs shed their Nordique skin from when they did that to hoisting the Stanley Cup. The start of the year, Stefan Fisse was amongst the Nordiques that moved to Colorado. Yes, and was a team starter, and then a young Jocelyn Thibault was the backup. Mm-hmm. However, on December 6th, 1995, Thibault was shipped to Montreal along with Martin Rutchinsky and Andrei Kovalenko for one Patrick Waugh.
Patrick Waugh got lit up. This is the last game. I think it was an
11-1 score.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done.
Yeah, he's like, this is the last game I'm playing for the Canadiens.
Can you imagine being a legend of a original six team and just going to the ownership sitting nonchalantly in the crowd behind everyone and be like, hey bro, I'm done,
trade me,
like the one of the greatest goalies of all time up until that point and now and just like, I'm good,
I'm not playing here anymore,
and he was gone.
Yeah, and they shipped him off.
And
to,
then he goes and wins another Stanley Cup. No big deal. Exactly. Just the biggest set of nuts on that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. The greatest money goalie of all time.
And he would go on to, of course, retire in 2003, and he's a Hall of Famer multiple times. He won a couple more Vezinas with Colorado, as well as another, you know, couple Stanley Cups. Avalanche swept the Panthers game four, in four games, but game four brought the excitement as neither team scored in regulation, and John Van Beesbrouck for the Panthers tried to keep his team alive. It was all for naught, as in third overtime, like you mentioned earlier, Uwe Krupp wound up and fired from the blue line, and the puck slipped past the Beezer and brought an end to the Panthers' only Stanley Cup appearance to this day, which I wrote these notes earlier, right before the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Panthers, as far as the 2022-2023 season goes, the Panthers lost to the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals. And then Avs would go on to compete in arguably the greatest cup final of all time against the Devils in 2001 and bring home a victory in seven games. Then just recently, the team won the cup for the 2021-2022 season, just a shade over 20 years after their last. 96-97 and 97-98 both saw the Red Wings winning the cup. I won't bore you with the Red Wings statistics. And then
they did good. Next.
They did.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The 97-98 team wasn't the offensive powerhouse of the 96-97 team wasn't really repeated in 97-98.
What year was the year that they only lost like 13 or 16 games? Like
that
was
2002, I think.
Was it? It was out of the
2003, I think. They won. Or no.
I think it was the 97-98.
It was 97. No, it was 97-98.
96-97.
97-98.
96-97, they had 94 points, 38 and 26 and 18. And then 97-98, they were at 103 points, 44, 23 and 15.
Maybe I was seeing.
When did they win 70-some games? Was that 02-03?
I don't think they won 70 games.
Ooh. No, but they lost a ridiculously low amount. And Boston just beat their points record.
Like their wins record, I think. Or so by extension, the points record.
So it was actually the 1995-96 Detroit Red Wings. They had a win-loss record of 62, 13,
that's what I was thinking of.
And 7 ties.
And then they lost in the Western
and
Conference
no
finals.
Overtime losses, because those were those were the stats back in the day. Yep. Total of 131 points.
Oh, jeez. Man.
Appreciate the backup there, Joe.
Yes, thank you. Because we're thinking of the years they actually won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
They won the Stanley Cup in 96, 97. One of the nails in the coffin was the famous Darren McCarty goal on Ron Hextall when they faced the Flyers. And then they swept the Capitals in 97, 98. And then in 98, 99, the final Stanley Cup of the 90s, the Dallas Stars at 114 points defeated the Buffalo Sabres in six games. They beat the Avs in the Western Conference Final.
The Buffalo Hoshiks.
Yeah. They beat the Blues in the Western Conference Semifinals, the Oilers in the Western Conference Quarterfinals. Madonna led the team in points and goals with 81 points and 34 goals, respectively, followed with support from Brett Hull, Joe Neuwendijk, Yuri Lehtinen, and Sergei Zubov. Ed Beaufort led the team between the pipes with 35 wins, 0.915 save percentage, and a 1.99 goals against average. That's for the year. Jeez. Roman Turek actually kept pace with Eddie the Eagle, getting his own 915 save percentage and a 16-3 record. And then in the playoffs, Mike Modano led the offense again with 23 points. Ed Beaufort stood on his head, was the lone goalie the Stars called upon, and earned himself 16 wins, a 930 save percentage, and a 1.67 goals against.
Jeez.
And but he was good.
And now it's no secret what the most famous play is of that Stanley Cup, though, is, and that's Brett Hull's controversial goal in the third overtime of Game 6. So those were the 90s championships. Is there anything else that we're missing, boys? We mentioned in part one that this is a hefty topic to try and take a bite into. This is our second part. Do we have a part three that we should probably cover anything? I think we covered a lot of stuff in these two parts. I don't know.
I think so too, yeah.
I don't know. I think anything that you covered, you could have potentially covered in a part three. We've rolled it all into part two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The jerseys was a very hefty subject in and of itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things that makes me completely wax nostalgic about 90s hockey because the merchandise sales alone were one of the biggest reasons why the NHL catapulted the way they did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about some of the favorite jerseys that we talked about. You talk about some of the ugly ones, like the Burger King jersey.
Yeah.
And,
oh, I hate those.
And the whatever monstrosity that was that Anaheim had with Wild Wing.
Yeah.
I mean, as nostalgic as I can be about their original jerseys, that was something that should have been put in the garbage heap. We've talked, obviously, before about the rejected third jersey that the Blues could have had. we talk about some of the jerseys, like there was a good example that Philadelphia wanted to go in on this teal trend and redesign their jerseys. They looked like a heaping pile of garbage. The jerseys, I feel like, could have been episode three, but to cover it in episode two just even makes me happier.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think this was a good comprehensive. There's no need for a trilogy, boys. Yeah, unless you want it, then hey, we're all for it.
Unless the studio wants a trilogy. gains enough success to where, like, we need another movie.
Try and cobble something together.
I literally can't think, like, of the checklists of things in order to get a nice, girthy, hockey episode. I think we've checked it all off.
Yeah, especially with an overarching just covering of everything, unless we wanted to get really granular with certain things.
We'll wait another year.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think we've checked all the boxes of 90s hockey, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, part one, we talked about the evolution of it into the 90s, some of the top goal scorers. We touched on goalies, but then we also talked about trends here. We talked more about jerseys, Stanley Cup winners, playoff moments, goalies, rivalries.
Yeah.
Video games, movies.
I mean, a little bit of enforcers to go along with it.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. I think that's perfectly deep.
I think that's it.
The depth of it is good.
That's it for 90s hockey for us.
Yeah.
And we couldn't have done it without you gentlemen.
Yes.
So Chris and Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Of course, absolutely. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for hosting. We're at Joe's house right now.
Yep.
Casa de Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Chris finally got a chance that he's been waiting a whole year for since getting pissed off at part one.
I wasn't pissed.
I know.
I wasn't pissed.
I know. Instead of talking to us, I know, I'm sorry. Instead of talking to yourself, you're not talking to us about 90s hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you had a chance to do that.
Yep. I hope you all had a fun time listening, as much fun as we've had recording it. Again, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. We'll see you all next week. Until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you can be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.